Why is it important to me?
It's
a question which is especially relevant nowadays. Is the question whether we should be Orthodox Christians. Why is it better than other religions? Is it? This question is especially relevant nowadays because in times of the Soviet Union we were rather isolated from the rest of the world in the ideological sense. Now these borders, these ideological borders are blurred. There are no borders. So, and nowadays our people are captured by the spirits of different types, both from the east, from the west, and each of the spirit cries out, I'm the best in the world, I'm the true one. Russia has been living in Orthodox Christianity for more than 1,000 years, and Russia says that Orthodox Christianity is the most truthful religion. So, 1,000 years ago, there was really Christianity. Now, when we say a word Christianity, we ask what kind of Christianity. We face several kinds of Christianity: Orthodoxy, Catholicism, and Protestantism. Before judging about Orthodoxy, we have to compare these three branches. We need to compare what is the difference between these branches. It's important to determine the criteria evaluate these branches. When we say that, for example, Orthodoxy is a truthful religion, but Catholics and Protestants would say, no, we are true religion. So what is actually the criteria of truthfulness in Catholicism? Everyone who are aware of Catholicism, that the last resort, the last decision-making point belongs to only one person: the Roman primogenitor, elected by the enclave, in fact, elected by several dozens of cardinals. So, in fact, by ordinary clergymen. So, this person, newly elected, in the Sistine Chapel, known for many years, and there appears white smoke from the chimney, and the Pope is elected. Who is he? One of them, an ordinary person, as well as other people. Yeah, is he an ordinary one? As soon as he is elected, he immediately is endowed with what kind of prerogative, what kind of power? He's sinless. He becomes devoid of mistakes. He decides the life and belief of the Church. He himself, not the cathedral. Even the cathedral which gathers makes the decisions only in case the Pope approves of the decisions. If the Pope doesn't approve of the decisions of the cathedral, the decisions are illegal. He is announced a vicar, means viceroy of Jesus Christ on the earth. In fact, he is the earthly God. It sounds very strange, incredible, but it's a fact. The Pope is dogmatically approved. He's announced the person who is endowed with the full power, not only with an administrative power. He states the canons. He approves of the rules. He approves of the truths. He is endowed with a sinless power. Now, please think about this. If such a power is in the hands of one person, of which person?
No, the
person is elected by the criteria, which are very strange ones. So we're not talking about the holiness of this person, but anyway, he is elected. But think about this. So when one person possesses the fullness of power, what can it be? So, those who are acquainted with the history of the Church know which decisions the Pope made. There were harsh times, in fact, in the history of the Church, but the criteria of the truthfulness of the Catholic Church is the word of one person. But I would like to say that the Catholicism would never turn down this dogma. He is not only the head of the Church, but only the head of, but also the head of the state. Jesus Christ refused to be the head of the state. The people wanted to make him the Tsar, but he fled to the desert. So what do people need? Bread and entertainment. But Jesus Christ fled from these people, and he said that my power is not from this world. If my power were from this world, so the people would be with me. So how is this criterion good? So something more serious happened in the first millennium, the one unified Church, and the whole idea of Church is the means of the salvation of a person. Its function is to be a means of salvation. It says, here is the Holy Scripture, here is the rule of our life. It says, this is the way we have to understand the spiritual life. Alexei Ilyich, is it possible to think about the confessions if a person calls himself a Catholic or a Protestant, but at the same time he lives according to the commandments, according to the conscience? Is it possible for him to be a genuine Christian, to be with God? So you are confusing two different states. Who was the first to enter the paradise? Was he living according to the commandments as well as here? If we compare confessions, it is important, it is crucial. But if we touch any person, any Catholic, any Protestant, any Buddhist, any pagan, we have to ask, will he save himself or not? I have no idea. I have no idea why a person's soul is a mystery. But the pagan was following the conscience in a bigger way than me, than I, a Christian. So one thing is to understand and compare different religions, and another stuff is to be able to understand how a person can save himself. Usually these people act as they are used to acting, as well as they are taught to act. But the most important thing is not to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means that we have to follow the voice of truth I see. Together with it we have to act sincerely. As I see the commandments, I should act. So, yeah, sure, the salvation is possible for everybody if we try to be sincere in his actions, though their understanding was false. So another question concerning this thought: how can we understand the church schism inside the church? So we understand it as the rejection. So I put my opinion above the opinion of the church. Ioan Isaiah writes, if you study the Holy Scripture and understand it and you follow it, so you join in the fame of God. But if you insist on your opinion obstinately, you are devoid of the fame of God. So what does it mean obstinately? You insult everyone who disagrees with you. So my opinion, and only my opinion, is correct. So we start insulting people without understanding what we do. So obstinacy. So obstinate, being obstinate means being cross, being angry. So it's condemnation, it's the sin of anger. Then you are devoid of the fame of God. So here, look, we should be very attentive about these things. Anthony the Great wrote, with silence close the lips of those who slander you, because they are obsessed with the spirits of evil. Alexey Ilyich, the question is, if the Orthodox confession is true, why doesn't Catholicism disappear? Why doesn't Protestantism disappear? Why didn't they go to the initial resources when they appeared? When in the 11th century the church schism happened, there was a strict separation back then. I can tell you that that in the West people have the slightest idea about the Orthodox confession, about some holy fathers who are in the basis of the Christian church. This is the first, actually, the first reason. But the second reason is that the Orthodoxy calls for a man not to go down, to look up, look at the sky. But here we say, so go down. So this is the characteristics of the West. This is the belief which transformed the gospel into, I would say, into the doctrine which does not prevent our ancient man from living. So the situation is that a person chooses the confession. He looks at the confession, at the beliefs. He looks at the lives of people who believe in this or that confession. So how not to be mistaken in this? So we see that some people do not live by the rules. So we have to look not at a person, because we might be mistaken, but we have to look at what Christianity teaches, at what it actually teaches. But there are different people. There were great holy people, as well as there were sinners and bandits. So that is why we have to assess Christianity not by concrete people, but by the doctrine itself. The Apostle Paul, you might remember, wrote that the pagans, having no rule, they bring this rule inside themselves. So he writes about the conscience as about the main criterion of following God. Everyone who does the truth is pleasant to him, to God. So not everyone has signs like these. The Church has always oriented itself at the experience of the Holy Fathers. The experience. Who were these Holy Fathers? They were Antoni, Makary, Athanasius, Basil the Great, the Gregory the Theologian. So the people who, with such a clarity, evidence, proclaimed their vicinity to God's Spirit, there was no doubt who they were. And when we saw this vicinity, this agreement, both in the issues of the spiritual life, in understanding of this life, so up to the end of the first millennium, and in the second millennium, the West separates itself from this tradition. This is a real tragedy, I must admit. What is pleasing Jesus Christ? And we see what is the main idea in the teaching of Francis from Assisi. Compassio, what is it? So compassion with Jesus Christ. In what? So we have to imagine how he was suffering, how the Mother of God was suffering, what feelings they suffered. So we can see how an animal is tortured, we would suffer. So this compassion is the main idea of Francis from Assisi's teaching. He was an exalted personality, and because of these exaltations, he had bleeding wounds on his legs, ribs, and hands. So this was announced, the feat of a person who is compassionate about Jesus Christ, instead of fighting with our passions. With what? With selfishness, with condemnation, with envy, with self-complacency. So there are great words, the bodily feat, without the spiritual feat, struggling with these passions, is more detrimental than useful, because it leads to the development of spiritual passions. Instead of struggling with these passions, what do we aim our thought at? We aim at compassion. Think about this. What is the humbug? Another moment. Yeah, the task of a Christian man is love. This is the highest boon. The highest boon. But what is it? What is it? The Apostle Paul writes, this is the hallmark of all boons. It's fruit. In order to get this fruit, we have to accomplish the feat. Love is the most important thing. What we see in Catholicism, what all the holy fathers called the false feelings, the dangerous feeling in a person's life. So this thing is called the holy thing in the West. So what is the source of this? The main tragedy is that the Catholicism introduced in its teaching that every our good act is our achievement to God. So I bowed 10 times, that's okay. So I gave 10 pence to a man, so another achievement. So this is not all, but if suddenly I monasticize, this is an over achievement. So just imagine when I know that I did something and I have achievements. Oh my God, what happens to me? What do Holy Fathers write? Makary the Great writes, O God, purify me, sinner, since I never, never did any good in front of you. It was him, Makary the Great. Sisoy the Great, while he was dying, his face was shining. He was talking to someone. The people were asking him, Sisoy, what's going on? So the angels came to take me, but I asked them to give me some time to repentance. But he answered, I have no idea whether I initiated any act of repentance. So the Western saint people are depicted in this way. And ours, have you noticed this? Our saint look inside themselves. They look at the soul and the spirit. As for the Protestantism, the best way it was characterized by Luther, who said, I do not exalt myself. I do not think that I'm higher than the congregations, but I think my Jesus Christ to be more important than any dogmas. My Jesus Christ. Do you understand what my means? It means the way I think. We see how Protestantism has split apart into different branches, because the main principle is that the Bible explains itself. To whom? To everyone who has their own idea. So the way the Holy Spirit says, it means that it is the truth. But if the Holy Spirit says in a different way, so in Australia the Orthodox delegations had to protest to the assembly, because the Protestants started pronouncing the words which compromised the basis of Christianity, about the Holy Spirit, which was transformed into the women divinity. The Bible explains itself. What am I driving at? I drive at the fact that the Orthodoxy is different from other religions, because our criterion, our basis, our fundamental is the agreement we see in the words and teachings by the Holy Fathers. If we do not stick to the basis of the spiritual life, it is very easy to fall deep down. But while we stick to the Holy Fathers' teachings, Orthodoxy remains the true Christianity.